Today's reading is Luke chapter 10, verses 30 to 37 from the New Living Translation, and it's the parable of the Good Samaritan. Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was travelling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn, where he took care of him. The next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here." Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbour to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, "The one who showed him mercy." Then Jesus said, "Yes, now go and do the same."
So we continue our series of Fruit of the Spirit. And this morning we're looking at kindness. And my first question to you is a rhetorical question, is do we live in a kind society? Or have we become too self-centered, too intolerant, too introverted, too cynical, too critical to really care about other people? Are we so focused upon ourselves that we just can't be bothered to take the time and the effort to be kind? It's a bleak thought to begin with, isn't it? But there's probably some truth within that. And if that is true, then that's where we Christians come into play. Because how will society become kinder? It's not by laws or regulations. It will become kinder because people like us will model kindness and will show how kindness leads to a more decent, loving world. In 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 6, Paul describes love in that very famous passage. And that passage begins with the words, "Love is patient, love is kind." See, kindness is about love. It involves caring and giving. Synonyms include sympathy, helpfulness, thoughtfulness, gentleness. And one definition of kindness that I really like is this one. Kindness is looking at the interests of others with love and compassion and selflessly taking action to ease their burdens. Unlike some of the other fruits that we've looked at, kindness isn't an attitude as love is. It's not an emotion as joy is. It's not a state of mind as peace is. Kindness is about our behaviour, what we do and what we say. So is kindness simply about doing a few good deeds? Perhaps you're out on a walk and you pick up a toy that a child has dropped out of their buggy and you hand it back with a smile. You stop for a quick chat with someone that you know lives on their own. You pick up some litter. You meet a neighbour who's walking home from Budgeons with a few bags of shopping and you give them a hand. Now, of course, those things are good things to do. They're good deeds. And absolutely, we should do them and we should do loads of them. The question is, are they enough? Is that all we should be thinking about when we reflect on how kind we have been or indeed should be? See, one writer described this sort of kindness as kindness light. These sorts of good deeds are done without really changing our day. Actions that don't require us to change our plans or change our lifestyle. But is that what God wants of us, or does he expect more? So we've just heard the parable of the Good Samaritan, so out of that, we can draw some messages with regards to kindness. The guy who was beaten up and robbed was a Jew. The Samaritan was a Samaritan. Jews and Samaritans didn't like each other. They didn't mix. The Samaritan was on his way somewhere. And so one assumes had things to do, people to meet. He had a plan to be somewhere at some time for some reason. He probably didn't have much time for distractions, particularly helping someone that he didn't know and where there was no love lost between them. But he stopped and he did help. at a personal cost and without any real likelihood of being thanked given how Jews felt towards Samaritans, and probably without any hope of getting his money back. But as we heard, the Samaritan dressed the injured man's wounds, put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn where he could be cared for. Despite the Samaritan having somewhere else to be and other things to do, he stayed the night with the man. The next morning, he paid the innkeeper in advance, promised to return to pay any further expenses towards the man's recovery. The Samaritan made sure the injured man was taken care of. So what does that tell us about kindness? Well, first of all, sometimes kindness puts you into contact with people that you would really prefer not to have contact with. Sometimes kindness forces you to go out of your way and it makes a mess of your plans. Sometimes kindness costs you money which you may not get back. Sometimes kindness means you have to return and follow up to make sure the job is completed. See, real kindness is often intrusive. It puts us out. It inconveniences us. And sometimes we don't get thanked. But isn't that the type of kindness that God expects of us? Now, I hope we can agree that it is. But, and there is a but behind that, while we might agree that's the sort of kindness that God expects of us, at the same time we might be uncomfortable with having to go that far to be kind. It's easier to talk to a neighbour that you know than it is to help someone that you don't know and don't particularly want to mix with. And that's acceptance of the principle is a bit like society today, I think, which is where we accept the principle. We fundamentally believe that is right, but we're not prepared to do what is necessary to actually make it happen. So what will make us actually do what is necessary? Well, kindness, like the other fruit of the Spirit, is an attribute of God. So the reason that we should show kindness to others is because God shows kindness to us. Just think about examples of where we read in the Bible about God's kindness. In Ephesians 2, we read, "So God can point to us all in future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus." God sent his son into the world to die on the cross for our sins. There is no love or kindness that even begins to compare with that. Do we deserve God's kindness? No, probably not. In Titus 3, it says, "When God our Saviour revealed his kindness and love, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth, a new life through the Holy Spirit." God's kindness to us is the opposite of what we deserve. He didn't save us because we were good, but because he is kind. As an American writer put it, rather bluntly, but I think very aptly, God has given us a massive break, that we might in turn give others a break. But when we fail to show kindness to others, it's like spitting on the kindness God showed us. And that does not play well with God. See, if you go back to the story of the Good Samaritan, before the Samaritan arrives, two people pass by the injured man. A priest and a temple assistant, as we heard in the reading. Both of these men were Jews, both men who held significant positions, men who people would have looked up to. And yet neither man could be bothered with their Jewish brother lying in the ditch, injured. They had other plans and didn't want to be inconvenienced. One wonders how they would fare on Judgment Day. See, kindness is a serious business. It's serious because of how God showed kindness to us and what it cost him. We didn't deserve his kindness. He provided it out of the goodness of his heart. So we should want to be kind to others because we want to be like God. In Luke 6, we read, "Love your enemies. Do good to them, lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be very great, and you will truly be acting as children of the Most High. For he is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. You must be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate. When we consider God's amazing kindness to us through Christ, that should motivate us to want to be kind to others in return. Be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate. And Ephesians 4 says, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. What other motivation can we possibly need to be kind? But the kindness that God asks of us is what we might call sacrificial kindness. That's saying it's not enough to simply be generous, but we need to be sacrificial. In 2 Corinthians, verse 8, Paul writes about the Macedonian churches who gave generously to others in need, even though they were in great need themselves. Now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. They are being tested by many troubles and they are very poor, but they are also filled with abundant joy, which is overflowed in rich generosity. And Paul follows this up a little bit later in that same chapter, pointing out the sacrifice that Jesus made for us at the cross. You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich. Jesus is the ultimate example of sacrificial giving because he gave the ultimate sacrifice in the giving of himself. And as Christians, we should also give sacrificially to those who are in need. In 1 John, verse 3, it says, if someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. See, when we give sacrificially to others in need, we not only model ourselves after Jesus, but we open ourselves up to growing in his kindness and love. And we're not, of course, merely referring to financial giving. We grow in the fruit of kindness any time we sacrifice money, time or convenience to help another person in need, just as the Samaritan did. Let me repeat that. We grow in the fruit of kindness any time we sacrifice money, time or convenience to help another person who is in need. And our response to anyone in need is a reflection of the character of Christ. It makes us truly like him. And as you know, kindness is not just about helping strangers. It's also about how we treat people that we know well, our family, our friends, our work colleagues. For example, practicing forgiveness is kindness. Practicing forbearance is kindness. Simon's going to talk about the fruit of forbearance next week, but for now it means showing patience, self-control and tolerance. Saying a kind word is kindness. In Proverbs 12 it says, worry weighs a person down, an encouraging word cheers a person up. We have no idea what disappointments and challenges people are struggling with each day. We have a choice. We can either add to their troubles with disparaging or discouraging words, or we can speak a kind word to them to lift them up. And it's a cliche, but it's true. A kind word costs nothing. Listening to our spouse, our children, our grandchildren, our friends, people at work is a kindness. Listening, not hearing, but listening, giving time and truly listening to them is a kindness. Letting things go is a kindness. When people mess up and they know they've messed up, is there any point in us telling them they've messed up? Or might it be kinder to put an arm around their shoulder, either a figurative or literal arm around their shoulder? It's so easy to be unkind to the people that we know best and love the most, isn't it? So what to do? Well, there's a phrase, well-known phrase that says, practice makes perfect. Perfection, bit too much. Let's drop it down. Let's go with practice makes us better. So we need to practice being kind. Now, when I say practice, what I mean in a sense is we need to be intentional in our kindness to others, because in time, that intentionality will become instinctive, as it was for Jesus. The Holy Spirit has put the fruit of kindness within us. And as Wayne said a couple of weeks ago, it is up to us to tend that fruit. Or as the preacher Ray Fowler wrote, I will grow in kindness as I allow the Spirit to inspire my behaviour. Kindness is not just about how we feel towards others. It's how we act. A kind-hearted person who never acts is not kind at all. As Christians, we're challenged to live more Christ-like lives, to be more Christ-like in all that we say and do. If you believe that, then you ask yourself the second question, which is, was Jesus kind? And if your answer, and it better be, yes, then if we want to be more Christ-like, we have to be kind. We have to model kindness in all that we say and do. And it's not easy. And it's certainly not easy with some people. And it's not easy some other time. But we must practice and practice and practice till we become half good at it. The world needs a lot more kindness in it. Our lives need more kindness. The people around us need more kindness. So let's commit today to be just a little bit kinder to each other. People we meet with our words and actions. Those words of Ephesians again. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. And I want to finish this morning by reading you a poem. The poem is called The Sin of Omission, written by Margaret Sangster. It isn't the thing you do, dear, it's the thing you leave undone that gives you the bitter heartache at the setting of the sun. The tender word unspoken, the letter you did not write, the flower you might have sent, dear, are your haunting ghosts at night. The stone you might have lifted out of your brother's way, a bit of heartfelt counsel you were hurried too much to say, the loving touch of the hand, dear, the gentle and winsome tone that you had no time or thought for, with troubles enough of your own. These little acts of kindness, so easily out of mind, these chances to be angels, which even mortals find. They come in nights of silence to take away the grief, when hope is faint and feeble and a drought has stopped belief. For life is all too short, dear, and sorrow is all too great to allow our slow compassion that tarries until too late. And it's not the thing you do, dear, it's the thing you leave undone that gives you the bitter heartache at the setting of the sun. So let's not miss the chance to be kind. Let's not walk by the person in need. Let's do what Jesus would have done, or indeed as Jesus told us we should do when he told the story of the Good Samaritan. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we reflect on your fruit of kindness, we pray today for your power to bring more kindness into the world. We pray that you will soften people's hearts so that they truly listen with compassion and empathy to the struggles of others. And we pray that you will help them find the right way to act and to help those in need. Heavenly Father, remove the hatred and selfishness from people's hearts, and help us all to feel and show grace and generosity to those around us. Please help us all to be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ you forgave us. We offer this prayer in your holy name. Amen.